the weekend. Carl, what did you have for dinner last night?
Last night I had two open hamburgers with a salad.
And two? You had two hamburgers?
Yes, but they were small.
Don't you think it's time to, I mean, to cut
I could do one,
your
but
portions
they,
back just the, a little bit?
But they were small. They were tiny.
Well, they were sliders then.
Yes, they were tiny. And a green salad with the tomato and spinach.
Yeah.
And a nice glass of Trevento, which is a Malbec from Argentina. Mm-hmm. Very nice. 1994.
Now, would you classify yourself as in tip-top shape, or are you overweight, or are you underweight?
I'm overweight. I just came back from the doctor in good health, 12 pounds overweight. Thank you very much. He wants me to lose 15 pounds.
You know, I have a very good friend who went to his doctor.
Yes.
And his doctor called him obese.
Jesus.
And my friend was shocked, literally shocked at that word. And he went on, he changed his entire eating habits to, to salads and, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, he still eats, some meat and fish and chicken, fowl, stuff like
but
that.
But it depends,
But he's lost 40 pounds. Not 60.
It is really, you're absolutely correct when you mentioned about the meat patties, but we didn't have any bread. No bun, no bread at all. We're trying to get off the carbs almost completely, all right? The entire family, other than my
Don't you need some of that anyway?
You do. Well, maybe a little bit of pasta, but it's white fiber pasta as opposed to the regular. And we're both beginning to lose a little bit of weight. My wife and I have so much energy going forward. we keep going. It's usually 18-hour days. He said you just have to lose a little bit of weight. And other than that, I did very well on my exam. Thank you very much. Cholesterol's fine. Everything's good. A prostate exam, all that kind of good stuff. Fine. Other than losing some weight, I'm in good shape.
Well, I wasn't asking you to share that much information.
Well, I shared it to the American public who may care or may not. I don't know. ladies and gentlemen.
It's kind of interesting. I was talking to my really good friend, and how he did that. And, I mean, it's totally noticeable. His face is slimmed, his neck and shoulders totally down. I mean, you lose 40 pounds over 3 or 4 months. That's pretty darn good.
You know, I'm of the belief, though, for me, it's more about getting back into shape. Now that, we made the announcement, I busted my toe, and I can't walk like I like to. I like walking. And I could walk for a great long stretch, and it's wonderful exercise. It really is. Pacing it out, not just strolling. Walking. There's a difference between walking and strolling. And I like walking, getting those arms going, just getting out there and walking for a couple of 2-3 miles and so on and so forth. That's a wonderful exercise. But if you are in shape, there's a difference between being in shape and being a little bit over or underweight. Being in shape means you have capacity, lung capacity. You can climb up and down stairs without feeling like you're just going to cough up a lung. I can do that without a problem. But I know some people who are perfectly, for their age and their weight is correct, but they're not in shape.
Well, there are many surveys in America, around America, about Americans, many of them, being overweight.
Yes. People can't climb a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And climbing stairs is important because it requires that certain amount of energy. But if you are in shape and a bit overweight or underweight, I'd rather be in shape than be at the right weight.
Well, if you look at the football players when the season starts in September.
Yes.
And a lot of these guys are, 250, 270, 280, 90,
big guys.
Maybe
big
300.
Men. Big men.
The linebackers.
Big men.
But these guys are both in shape and heavy.
Heavy. They're all, if you look at their size, they all should be at least 40 pounds less than they are. But that's all muscle to these gentlemen, and they're in shape. But you see, the problem that they have is after their the baseball players and all of them, after their careers are over. That's it. And I was going to talk about Frank Gifford, who just recently.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Let's do it. Frank Gifford, and I mentioned him, and it comes in very well into this topic. I call him one of the boys of summer in football. He was a legend and a lovely man who turned American football around when he went on to a Monday Night Football when Keith Jackson left the booth when Howard Cosell and Don Meredith were doing it.
Yep.
Jackson left and he came in, stayed there for 25 years.
Yep.
But he was such a polished individual, such a professional. But his point was, the same point I raised, as long as I'm in shape— I could tolerate my weight, whether I'm a little heavier or a little bit thin. And at some points in his life, he was very thin, much thinner than he should have been. But he was always in shape. He practiced yoga and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, you know, I knew Frank very well. Well, not very. I worked with him.
He's a good man. Good man.
When I first joined the CBS local station in New York, the WCBS, mm-hmm. as a news person, back in 1970. Three guys were doing sports on the local news channel. Frank Gifford.
Yep.
Jack Whitaker.
Jack Whitaker, wonderful.
And
Jack.
Pat Summerall. I mean, great, wonderful broadcasters.
Great, absolutely fabulous. You named three right there, boom, and the top of the list.
Yeah, and Whitaker was one of the finest writers. I don't know if people don't realize that, how good he was.
Right. Yes, he was. He had two wonderful books, which I actually have a signed book of his. Mm. Yes, I do. I thought he was a fabulous writer. I really do. But also a lovely man, smart, sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Had interests far beyond the sports realm, but sports was his shtick. But Frank Gifford, to get back to this whole thing, Frank Gifford was an unusual man. He lived in the moment, but also loved what he did and did it well. He was not a broadcaster by avocation or vocation. He started as a football player. But he picked it up, and when he said to me once, I don't do this as well as most, but I do it to the best of my abilities. That's all I've ever done, even in my game, and I think I do it pretty good. And I think, Frank, you did. And I think he did it very well. 25 years on Monday Night Football, and he was just a tower, absolutely a tower. We'll miss him.
Well, he's a wide receiver some other place at the moment.
That's right. You know? He's still scoring touchdowns, I guarantee it. Yeah. But anyway, the whole idea of weight, your original question, and health, they do go hand in hand with the things that matter in life, and that is your cholesterol. And as an example, I'm trying to get my brother to go for a colonoscopy. I've been trying to get my brother to go for a colonoscopy for the past 15 years. And we worked out a plan to get him to do it. My doctor, we have the same doctor. We both had him for 30 years. We're going to sneak it up on him, okay? These are the kinds of things we all have to do just to kind of monitor the system and see how we're doing. And a lot of people just simply don't do that, and they should. Just check up on it. See what's going on. They won't do it. I don't know why.
It's a guy thing.
It's true.
You know, it's...
It's true. It's true.
You know, we're kind of intransigent on a lot of things that we should not be.
If it's working, don't try to fix it.
Yeah.
Well, I always say to them, my father was one, my uncles were others, how do you know it's working? That's when you go to the doctor, you take a blood exam, you do the whole thing, and you find out how well you're working, okay?
Sure.
And it saved my father-in-law's life. My daughter finally got him as a wedding present. That was don't give us anything. You've got to go to the doctor. First time in 40 years.
Wow.
And they indicated esophageal cancer. He's still alive today. He can eat better than I can. He's doing well. They removed it. And that was 7 years ago. 8 years. Oh, no. I'm sorry. 9 years ago. 9 years ago.
There you go.
Son of a gun. Yep.
There's a lot of stories like that.
Finally went to the doctor. Unbelievable.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes, 15 seconds in the rest of this particular. No.
Come on. I love you. Yeah, I could go.
There we go.
I can go down that road if you'd like.
Well, what the people out, the audience, thank you for listening. But what you don't know about Carl is that when we first started doing Smith Sabatino, several years ago, at night when his child was ready to go to bed, it was also the time that we were live on the air. So Carl would plan it to sing his baby to sleep. And
it worked.
Well, yeah.
We lost the audience.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's true.
Kevin,
he was with us.
Yes, I was.
Hey, no further comment.
And
from
you know,
Kevin.
Carl, I could always hear you singing at the other end of the hallway.
There you go.
Well, I'll do it again, but we'll lose our audience again. I mean, I'm great at losing audiences here, but it's a moment thing, Roland. It's a moment thing. You got to just jump into the moment. It's like that young lady you mentioned that mooned me last year.
I truly believe we have to live in the now.
In the now.
Yeah, not in the future, not in the past, but in the now.
Okay.
Whatever is happening right this minute is what we react to
yes.
and what we've created, and we need to deal with it.
Well, isn't that the same thing as living in the moment?
Yes, it is.
And living in the moment is things that you sometimes spontaneously feel like you want to do.
I was just trying to upgrade your verbiage to modern times rather than back in the 17th and 18th century.
No, but ladies and gentlemen, what he actually is trying to do is prevent me from singing. Because the clock is ticking down. I'll close this segment with a song. How's about that?
No, thank you. You know, unless it's happy birthday or something, but then you're going to have to pay royalties.
You know. You do. All right. Well, this is Smith Sabatino heading off into nowhere land. This is America Weekend. This is the Envision Radio Networks. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you as always for staying with our craziness. We're back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.